Welcome back to In the Booth. I'm Sean Booth, and thank you guys for tuning in wherever you're listening from. Maybe you are in Miami, Florida today, which is probably a little bit warmer than where we are. Maybe you're from Somerville, South Carolina, or Newport News, Virginia. Never heard of that. Newport News. Have you heard of that?
No.
All right. Well, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. And we've got she back in the studio, coming back from Hawaii. She's been living the dream. And she came right back to snow in Nashville, Tennessee. And she is prepped. She is wearing an Old Dominion beanie. She's wearing a pink sweatshirt that looks like Walter got a hold of it.
Okay.
And black jeans. We've got Rip Cat back in the building.
Rip Cat, I like that. There's also a rip in my jeans right there.
Oh, wow. That's like a rip in the ass.
Yeah, I didn't... actually, funny story about that. I found... I've talked about it before. Curve Love denim from Abercrombie. It's my favorite because it actually fits me.
Yeah.
And I...
Not an ad yet.
Hey, let's manifest that yet. I bought these jeans because they were the right size. I did not click through all of the photos. So when I got it, there was a rip in the ass. I was like, what the hell is this? And so I go to return them at Abercrombie and they're like, ma'am, this is the style of the jean. And I have never felt like more of a boomer in my life. So that was apparently planned. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm just leaning into this. I'm going to look like a cute Gen Z. Even though I completely exposed myself trying to return these jeans because I thought there was a problem with it. And I felt like my dad all those years being like, you pay for all those holes in your jeans. And
there you are.
I sure did.
That's an edgy look. That's like, that should be behind like a paywall, like Patreon. Get an exclusive look at what Sam Cat's wearing here today.
I don't know. But I might have to charge extra for the ass rip.
Yeah, the ass rip. You can find that on YouTube right now if you're watching. Welcome back. And Sam Cat, where the hell you been?
I feel like I haven't been here in forever.
You haven't.
I was actually trying to process that last night. I have not spent more than, I don't know, maybe 3 days in Nashville since before Thanksgiving. And it is January 20-something right now.
That's
I don't even
crazy.
Know.
Crazy.
It has been a wild ride. But I went home for Christmas and had a great time there. Got to see my family. Came back immediately, had a show with Old Dominion for the New Year's Eve, you know, rockin' countdown, ABC, whatever. Obviously, the ball drops at midnight. That show wraps up, and I am on a plane at 7 a.m. the following morning to Hawaii. We had a couple shows out there, so I did do some work, and then I stayed after in vacation. But we did – our first stop was Honolulu, Waikiki Beach area.
Yeah.
I have to say, have you ever been there?
I have been to all the islands, and Honolulu is fantastic.
Yes.
Hawaii is my favorite. I've told you this a million times. Yes. Long answer, short. I've been there.
Have you? Okay, so I'm asking because on Honolulu, we did, there's Diamond Head Hike. It's like very popular there. We were going to go there. Apparently, you need to make a reservation after COVID. So heads up, if you're going to Honolulu and you want to do that hike, you have to make a reservation to hike. I didn't realize that that was a thing because that seems insane to me, but whatever.
Yeah, that's so, the island where Pearl Harbor is.
Correct.
Yes.
Which is
I did a hike there.
Which is also
weird.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of Japanese people there.
Well, that's also true. That's also true.
When I was there, I was like, this feels kind of weird. Are you guys like celebrating right now being like, yep, this is what we did?
Yeah, I did not put that together until right now, but you're not wrong. Okay. Anyways, so Diamond Head, we have an Uber driver who was dropping us off and he was just like, you guys didn't make a reservation. He was a local. He's lived there forever. He gave us a fantastic tour of the island on our way there. He's like, well, there's a hike not too far from here. I won't charge you to drop you off. It's a little strenuous. It's a Cocoa Head crater. And we're like, okay. He's like, it's just steps. It's like wooden steps up the hill. And we're like, oh, perfect. Sean, when I tell you that it was the hardest thing I have voluntarily done for fun in my entire life, it was 1,100 steps, almost vertical. At one point, there's no ground in between. So it's just wooden slats, almost like a railroad. I had to stop multiple times and like, you know, there's the guys that are the heroes that have no shirt on. They're like running it for their morning workout.
Yeah.
There are children not wearing shoes, just like pouncing right by you. And, but then there's also 80% of us who are completely winded. I thought I was like, first of all, I drank like an entire bottle of champagne the night before.
How are you feeling from the night before? Cause I know you weren't doing that sober.
No, I was actually. I just had a little bit of La Marca. And let me tell you, when you're burping up La Marca the next morning on an 1,100 step vertical hike, it's
rough. What's the hike called?
Cocoa Head Crater or something like that. It was so hard. It was so hard.
It sounds like in Vancouver, there's a huge hike mountain. It's called the Grouse Grind, and it's like vertical.
Yes.
And it takes like an hour or so for some people to get up it, but people work out there every morning where they're trying to run up and see how fast they can do it. But I just Googled the 1,000 steps along an abandoned railroad track.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is insane. And it was awesome when you get to the top. It's 360 views, breathtaking. I did a handstand up there. It was pretty cool.
Damn, I'm jealous.
I would recommend you to do it. The thing is that I was just so, I don't know. I go back and forth. I was talking about it with other people I was doing it with. It's like, did it help us or hurt us that we were so unprepared? I think almost like I was naive and I didn't know what I was getting into. It's just like, well, we might as well try. And then by the time I realized that I was going to pass away, we were far enough in that it's like, well, we might as well finish. So we just took our time. Nobody was trying to be a hero. My biggest problem was that I had a backpack with all my stuff for the beach afterwards, which was, you know, not light. So I made one of the guys that I was with carry it. He was very nice gentleman. I was like, thank you so much for doing that for me. But I say all that to say that I do recommend it. Just maybe don't drink a bottle of La Marca the night before. And when you get to the top, it is insane.
It's
you
worth
can
it.
See so far.
It says that it's a challenging hike that will challenge not only your leg strength, but your will as well.
It absolutely does, because you feel like you make progress and then you look up and you're like, oh my God, we've done nothing.
I'm jealous. I want to do this hike so bad because you know me, I love that sick
you
shit.
You would love it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there are some people, like I said, who are working out and even they were very tired, which made me feel a little bit better. I was like, okay. And I was with people that are, you know, retired athletes like myself, all the way down to people who have never, you know, worked out a day in their life. And we all made it up.
It's like a railroad track that you're walking
yes,
up.
Yes.
That they built specifically for the hike. There's no trains going up there.
I don't know the origin of it. Well, they do, because like at the top, there was a Christmas tree. So they used the railroad to basically maintain the path and also add signage and whatever. Yeah. So right there where that lady's sitting, that's what I was saying. There's no ground underneath it.
Yeah.
Like it's just a straight through down to like, don't slip because you will split that railroad beam and never be able to have children.
That's wild. That looks awesome. I want to hike in Hawaii. I don't know which one it was. It was actually like a private one that they took us on, and it was like, you had to go through some guy's backyard and through these like
fences. Yeah, but those are the best ones.
No, it was the best. Nobody was up there, but it was gorgeous, gorgeous. And I always say, Hawaii is my favorite place on earth. I feel like once you get off the plane, it just like the air is just different, just feels different, smells different. And like we were talking about on the way in, you got the perfect mix of like a little bit of city, but it's also very chill, low key. You got the mountains to hike. You got the beach. You got a little bit of everything.
I couldn't agree more. I don't know what my expectations were. I had never been to any Hawaiian islands before this. I don't know what my expectations were, but I do know that everything was surpassed. Because, well, like we started in Honolulu, Oahu, and then we moved to Maui. So that's when we were doing, we had a show there, but you know, we did a catamaran day. I did the hike. We had time off, moved to Maui, kind of the same thing. There was a songwriters festival that raised money for the Maui fires. And then we also had our own Old Dominion show, which I do have to say, the crowds were not as big as what we have had on the mainland, but they were twice as loud. Those people knew every word to every Old Dominion song. And Old Dominion has a song called Hawaii, which I have been looking forward to for the like entire 2023 to hear Hawaii in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I got to say.
That must have landed.
Oh, it like made me emotional.
Really?
It was just, it's a lovely song to begin with. And it's just such a groove. But then to see part of the thing that Matthew Ramsey, the lead singer, passes out Hawaiian lays during that song, whether we're on the mainland or not. We did have to step up our game. Usually we do like a little Party City flower lay when we're on the mainland.
Yeah.
In Hawaii, we did actual fresh flower lays. And it was, I feel like emotional doesn't really do it justice, but it was, I don't know, it's just so lovely to see, especially the people in Maui, the amount of people that thanked us for coming because they're like, this is a really hard year for us.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that song was written about their home and they connected with that. And it's just really beautiful. And I was kind of surprised at how much I was like
feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is so special for them. And it's kind of one of those things that now we consume news so quickly that we almost get desensitized to things that are as tragic as,
of course, because
your entire town
huge news
down.
For a week and then you forget about yes. it. But the people who are there can't forget about it.
And it was just kind of putting a face with that tragedy and hearing and meeting people who lived through it. It just yeah. it does definitely changes your perspective. So I feel like that was probably the biggest surprise of my trip, of being emotional about a song that I've heard yeah. 250 million times at every other show, but for some right. reason it was much different there.
Of course.
And then we wrapped it all up. I extended my trip for vacation for about 4 days afterwards. I went to the Big Island, Kona. Yeah. That was
Kona's sweet.
That's too. The one that I told you I could move to.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I wanted, what I needed. We were supposed to fly out on Saturday night. We had a couple cocktails and we were just like, you know what? Let's extend our trip. How can we do this? Our goal was we had to do it for less than $500.
Yeah.
So the tour manager and I and our assistant tour manager, I feel like we could be on Amazing Race because yeah. we kind of do that for a living. And I was like, we're going to figure this out for less than $500 for the two of us to stay for 3.5 extra days.
And you did it.
And we did it.
Hell yeah.
Southwest points, Marriott Bonvoy points. Thank you. That's why I collect
all the points.
Them. I cash those in. And we stayed for 3.5 extra days at a Marriott there. And it was, I read 2 books. I got a little bit of a tan, my first tan in like a decade.
Oh yeah. You're kind of tan.
I know. It's really hard for me to tan, Sean. Give me
tan.
This. Kind of. It'll be gone by next week. Yeah. So soak it in for now.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a long-winded update of Hawaii and definitely stole my heart. I will definitely be going back.
Best. The drinks just taste better there too.
Everything is yeah. better. I feel like I lost weight and I was eating and drinking like a fool, but everything was
food's
fresh.
So good. Yeah.
I am actually 80% ahi tuna right now. I can't tell you yeah. how many poke bowls and ahi tuna I ate over the last
tuna
20
cat.
Days. Don't call me that. We're staying with Rip Cat today. You already named me. We're moving on.
You know what they called me in Hawaii when I was there?
I can only imagine.
The Please waiters and the waitresses and the servers, they called me the Mai Tai killer. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my first dog as a child was named Mai Tai, so I feel like that resonates with me a little yeah. bit differently. But
there was one day on the beach where I must have had like 18 of those things. And
those are
like
so sweet.
Back.
How did you have 18?
I don't know. I just stuck with it and I went with it all day. So the rest of the week, they call me the Mai Tai killer. So everywhere I went, they'd just be giving me Mai Tais. Like,
wow.
bring them on in.
Did yeah. you go there for your past life being partially famous on
yeah,
TV?
That was a oh, VIP okay. trip. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was like the four seasons. It just opened.
In
Nobody
Maui?
Was in the resort.
Oh, nice.
It was us, like the staff and like...
And the producers.
No producers either.
Oh, damn.
That was after the show.
Oh.
They were like, gave us a little trip. And so we had like our own little beach and
oh,
it was
look
wild.
Look at you, you bougie.
Yeah.
Anyways, what have you been doing since I haven't, when's the last time I saw you? I don't even know. Like the beginning
of December.
You saw
Locks, but I wasn't even at the house either.
Oh, yeah. I did. After I left, were you mad about that?
Well, I wanted to see you and Locks.
I felt bad about that after, but I didn't really put it together because I was just so excited to meet Locks
yeah.
that I was like, man, I probably should have waited for Sean. But I didn't know when I was going to see you again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to meet the kid because then I knew that my January was weird. And I'm like, oh my God, what if I don't get to meet him till 4th of July?
I know.
And so I just
He's
freaked
like
out.
6'3", you yes. come back.
So yeah. then I freaked out and I just called Dre and I went. And you know what? Not to knock you. I know yeah. that obviously your life has changed. But I have made it a habit for all of my friends that have procreated to yeah. Really check in with them.
Yeah.
On top of obviously meeting the baby. I feel like with the excitement of bringing a child into the world.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like the moms get a little forgotten.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I was glad that I got that
yeah,
time
I'm
with
glad
Dre.
You guys just, had that time too.
We had some Chick-fil-A and caught up and got to meet Locks. I held him for legitimately 2.5 hours
That's
straight. I would
said.
Not put him down.
She's like,
you can put him down. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
He's so little.
He's little.
He's got, the second I picked him up, I was like, these are Sean Booth's legs.
Yeah, he's got my legs.
Yes, like, yeah. I was like, this is like weird.
Yeah.
I feel like I was seeing you as a child. I was like, this is yeah. Sean Booth's legs. And also, he makes this, I feel like he has more of Dre's facial features, but he makes faces like you.
That's what, yeah, when you told me that, and then when you showed me the photos, I was like,
on your
oh,
Instagram.
Yeah.
I opened your Instagram and it was like you, and then Locks was down here and whatever, and you guys were both making the same eyebrow. I can't do that because I have Botox,
yeah.
but the eyebrow face, and I was yeah. like, oh, no paternity test needed. We're good.
I know. It's wild because I'm like, I still, when I look at him, I don't see me. I don't see Dre.
Yeah,
like, I can't.
He's got
know,
Dre's nose for
yeah,
sure.
He's got Dre's nose. I think he's got my hair. I think
Obviously.
He's going to have.
And he has blue eyes.
And he's got really blue eyes. I think the crazy thing is how alert he is, though, right now. Like, he is just...
Way awake.
Always. Like, I posted a video yesterday. He just sits there with me. He's just, like, looking at me, looking around.
I did see he's looking at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's still, like, sizing me up.
I know. Yeah. But don't you... I mean, I don't think he really has thoughts yet. Like, I don't know the process of thoughts and when those come in. But, like, what is he thinking about?
I don't know.
What is he absorbing?
But you can ask Dre. He loves my voice. Like,
well, he's been hearing that for forever.
Yeah, it like soothes him. And like when I walk in the room and then like I'll just come up to him and as soon as I get within the range that he can like see, he just starts like smiling.
How is so cool. Walter adjusting with locks in the house?
Walter's good. I feel bad because he's, no, I don't feel bad. He still gets plenty of attention.
Sure, but it's different. He's used to being an only child.
It's different. Like he sleeps in the crate.
Okay.
Because...
You never know.
It's right. Yeah, but it's like right next to the bed. He's been great with that. But before he'd kind of have free range but he'd be jumping up and down on the bed and it's like our sleep wasn't that good. So he's really good in the crate. And I bring him to work as much as I can. And I just like, usually I make him sit on that cot.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, you do whatever you want, buddy. Like when the class is getting started, he's out there. When people are cooling down, I let him go out there. I'm like, everybody just love on him as much as possible.
Yeah.
And he just loves it. So he's doing good. He's still like, he loves his pacifiers. Like he's always trying to get his pacifiers.
Okay.
Like he always ends up with his pacifier in his mouth like 18 times a day. He's very gentle with them. He's kind of just like indifferent though.
I was going to say, it's a learning curve for the dog too.
Yeah.
As is everybody else in the house. But
yeah, he just hangs out with them though. It's good. Good. It's not, the first week or two was like really like nerve wracking because he's so big.
And not aggressive, but like he's a puppy.
Yeah.
He likes to jump and play and swat. And
yeah, he's a goofball. So that's been good. But to your point about like moms getting forgotten, it's like I didn't realize how crazy it is to be a mom with a newborn. Like she just, that's a full-time job.
It absolutely is.
And, you know, she's been doing great, fantastic, but she's had her moments like the past week. He started to like get a little fussy this last week with sleeping. It's like we feel like he's just so hungry all the time. So he feeds like every 2 hours.
Yeah.
He'll feed three ounces, 4 ounces, and then it'll go on the tit for a little bit and then he wants more and then he's like, fine. Then he's, you know, another couple hours go by and it's like, he needs to eat.
Yeah. I've seen statistics that breastfeeding is quite literally a full-time job.
Full-time job.
Which is terrifying to think about. If I were to ever be lucky enough to breastfeed, I don't understand how moms manage it. I really don't. And I feel, not that I've had my own children, but I obviously have had close friends that have been having babies left and right around me. And it's like, you don't realize how much your parents loved you until you have your own children.
Yeah.
I know. I feel that way right now. And I haven't even had my own kids. I'm like, holy shit. My mom and my dad were trying to make it work with, and they were younger than I was. Yeah. They had less than I have and like all these things and still trying to keep you healthy, keep you happy, keep you on the road, keep you this, like while managing their own. I think something else that I've learned now that I'm an adult and I have a different relationship with my parents is that your parents are also just their own people.
Yeah.
So you think about, they were also trying to manage their own thoughts and emotions in relationship together. How's that going? How's the teamwork? Yeah.
It's like all baby. You know? It's a lot.
Do you feel like you and Dre together have changed for good, bad, or indifferent?
I think we're a stronger team for sure.
Right.
But it's just like, it's just all baby. All baby, all the time. But to your point of like, you don't realize how much your parents had to do. I was literally thinking last night, he's laying there just like crying. And I was like, I want to take out my phone and I want to show him in 15 years from now, being like, the things that we were doing for you, buddy.
Yes.
And I mean, it's a game changer. You learn so much. And
have you changed at all? What do you
think? For sure.
What does that mean, though? Tell me more.
No, in the best way possible, I think it puts into perspective a lot of things in life. And it's I keep saying it's like almost like a calming feeling.
Sure.
I don't know why that is. Maybe because I thought maybe it wouldn't happen.
Okay.
Now that it's like, ooh, nice big deep breath. Like, I'm a dad. As I've always wanted to be a dad. So it's kind of like a comforting feeling in that sense, I think.
Do you feel like So I guess my hope for you.
Yeah.
First of all, Sean's wanted to be a dad since the first minute that I met him. Probably before that. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, we were shopping for eggs.
Yes. Yeah. So that was like one of the first, I feel like, conversations we had.
Yeah.
But I was hoping, and I would like you to answer this, but I was hoping that once you did become a dad, that the outside riffraff and noise, because you have a lot of riffraff and noise in your life just because of the personal and professional experiences you have, they just don't matter.
Yeah.
And they are almost like in a calming way, not like, oh, I don't care about anything, but in a like, this is much more important than any of that stuff that I feel like you internalize and stress about.
Yes.
Repeatedly. Do you feel like you're getting a little better at that?
Yeah, 100% for sure. And that was something too, along like this past year has been challenging for me for a lot of different reasons, professional, personal, and Lox's birth was always the North Star.
Right.
I was always like, let's get there. Like none of this is going to matter. Got to get to that point. And it was true. And it's like, things still matter, of course, but not to the extent.
Your priorities are
Your priorities are changed for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's an awesome feeling. And at the same time though, it's also like, it's still like, you know, not that different either.
Right.
You still go to work every day. At least I do. And
I mean, your habits or your responsibilities outside of being a father are the same, but you are different.
Yeah.
You're a different person.
Right. But I think it's also like a lot of people when they say, you know, like I always hear marriage. Mm-hmm. Everybody's always like, oh, how do you feel? And everybody's like, I feel the same. It's kind of the same being a parent too. It's like, yeah, you've obviously changed for the better, I would imagine, for most people. But also it's like kind of the same. Like life goes on. Like,
but isn't that the goal?
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, I do have people in my life that have procreated and it is all consuming almost in like a negative way. Like they stop being themselves as individuals and as a partner and as adults in society first. And this, it's only the baby and they don't leave the house and it's too much. And then I have friends that have a baby and they still show up to work. They bring the baby out with them and all those things. And I hope, I mean, who knows who I'll be as a mother. I hope one day that I lean a little more towards the like continue my life, going to work, bringing the baby out, meeting the people, and like obviously within safe parameters, but I don't want to be the person that stops everything and just only becomes a mother.
Right.
I still want to be Sammy first.
Yeah.
Who knows if I will be that. I feel like everybody, I can hear the comments right now. Just wait. You don't know anything.
Yeah. No, never. I mean, Dre would tell you like, I mean, that's definitely, you know, what she wants to do and how she wants to be as well. And she still does work and she still does things for herself. And this past week was nice because she had, you know, her best friend Ashley in town with her cute little baby. Oh my gosh, she's so perfect, Mila. And so I was like, wait, so you're telling me at the house we're going to have two girls, two babies, a dog and a cat for a week? And she's like, yep.
You're like, oh, I have to coach more classes. It's so weird. Exactly. They just came up. We invented a new class.
I worked a lot last week.
Yeah,
but it was actually awesome because her Ashley and her baby were fantastic. It was
and it's an extra set of hands.
Baby. Yeah, and also it was good for Dre.
Yeah.
You know, and so like 2 days ago, I brought Dre and Lox to the gym just to get her out of the house. She's like, I've been out of the house once in the past like week and a half. And
stir crazy.
Yeah, and we're like, a couple weeks ago, we hung out with our good friends, McNabs, and they're supposed to come over to our house. And we're like, hey, Dre's like, can we come to your place just so I can get out of the house?
Well, and it's a safe environment, so she doesn't have to stress about that. You're going to their house. It's like the perfect setup.
Yeah. So, yeah, to your point, definitely want to bring them around, continue doing what we do in our lives. Right now, it's difficult with the winter season where you can't be around a bunch of people for like 2 months, they said. So when I do bring them to the gym, I'll put them in like the back room.
Right.
She'll hang out there. And then like, I literally tell people to leave through the garage door so they're not all walking through the lobby.
Perfect. You know? I feel like that's a, what is it? Like a compromise. I feel like, oh, I'm going to bring the baby out and try and acclimate it. Dre can come out. But it's like, okay, we're going to set a little bit of boundaries.
Yeah.
So we're not just throwing our kids to the wolves.
Yeah. Cause I want to take him out everywhere. Get him acclimated. I want to just take a trip just to get him on a flight soon.
I mean.
Travel with him.
There was a brand new baby, probably the same age as Lox, on my flight back from Hawaii.
And he was probably great.
He was great. He was asleep and was on the dad's arm. The dad was just like walking up and down the aisle the whole time. And
yeah.
But you know.
And I don't give a shit. If anybody wants to say anything about a baby crying or being upset on a plane, my whole rule in life is you can only get mad or upset about a crying baby on a plane if you were never a baby.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that.
Like, I hate when people get upset about that. Like, yeah. Oh, I just, like, yeah. Is it annoying? Of course it's annoying. But also, like.
But there's a lot of annoying things on a plane. I'll take the crying baby. Yeah. Yeah. And I always am very empathetic to, like, I think there's a fine line between maybe parents who are ignoring a child who is disrupting.
Of course, if you're ignoring them.
But when a kid
them,
is having a meltdown and I can see the mom just like,
yeah,
you know, like, she's going to have a meltdown. Yeah. If it's in a grocery store or the airport or whatever it is, and they're actively trying their best, it's just like, you know what? Kids are going to be kids.
Yeah.
But then I feel bad for the mom because I'm just like, they're embarrassed.
That's stressful.
You know, they're stressed out. Yeah. You know, it's just like, I'm like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
And if someone gives you a hard time, send them my direction.
Yeah.
Like, we're good.
Exactly. We'll like Charlie traveled to California over the holidays with V and Ava, and he was like, everybody was just so nice to us.
Well,
like,
I think there's a lot of empathy. Yeah. And especially if you've had children yourself.
Yeah.
You look at them and you're just like, oh, okay. This could be a very stressful day for you. And sometimes babies are fine.
Yeah.
But you never know. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
You're going to just bring Locks out. He might be on his best behavior. You might just be like, who is this child?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I was talking to one of my teammates from college. She has a daughter. She's the cutest. Maybe like almost 2 years old, less than that. But obviously, babies change every single day. Kids change every single day. And she's like, one time when she was having a meltdown in the grocery store, people are looking at me like, do something. And she's like, I don't know who this is. This is the first time I've ever seen this side of my kid.
Yeah.
Because they're changing and they're more overstimulated, whatever it may be that caused her to have the meltdown.
Yeah.
So my teammate was like, I don't know what to do. I've never seen this kid before.
Yeah.
And now we're in public. Like, we didn't learn this at home in the privacy of our own living room.
Right.
Where I could figure out how to calm her down. This just happened in Kroger. And it was just like, all right, we're going to go for it.
Yeah. We're going to do it.
Hey.
It's crazy.
I'm sweating thinking about that.
It's a lot. It's a lot in the best way, but man, yeah, you got to like-
Teamwork makes a dream work.
You give your parents a high five because, whew.
Yeah, but now the roles have reversed and I'm taking care of them. So it's just like payback, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think the cool thing is too, is like look forward to each stage. You never want to wish away them being this young, but it's also like, oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait to hear his voice.
Yeah, his voice. Or he starts walking around. I take a shower with him, which is so freaking awesome. And we've tried the bath thing, the baby bath. And it is, pro tip, a million times easier to just shower with them. Also, it's very slippery. You got to be fucking like holding on tight.
Oh my God, but you're making me nervous.
No, I mean, it's like a freaking slippery watermelon, basically.
Yeah.
Or a slippery, like, chicken. But he loves it. He can be crying. He goes in the shower and just like, I feel like he thinks he's back in the womb or something. Like the warm water hitting him. It's awesome. Way easier.
I love it.
Pro tip.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, keep that in mind. But speaking of that.
Oh, okay.
Dre's got to go back to work next week. That is, you know, something that I've never put much thought into is maternity leave, paternity leave, all of that, right? Yeah. 6 weeks and she's going back to work.
That's even less than I thought it was like 12 weeks is the average or something.
But there's all these different types of guidelines and I've been doing research on it, right? And I think you can take up to 12 or 16 weeks if you're eligible. In Tennessee, I think every state is maybe different with their
rules. Maybe is it per company or per state?
Both.
Okay.
So per state, like you can take up to 12 weeks or possibly 16. If you've been at your job for a year, if you have over 100 employees. So for small businesses, like where Dre works, 6 weeks. And
your body isn't even healed.
To put this in perspective of how short that is and how absurd it is. I couldn't pick up Walter from his mom and dog breeder until 8 weeks because Walter needed to feed from his mom. He's a dog.
Yeah.
And so Dre's-
I've never thought of it like that.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. That's a good little comparison there, Booth.
I was doing research. Canada. Employees can take up to 18 months of maternity leave. The first 15 weeks are considered maternity leave and the remaining 61 weeks can be taken as parental leave, which can be shared between the parents. United Kingdom employees can take up to 52 weeks. The first 26 weeks are ordinary maternity leave and the remaining 26 are called additional maternity leave. Sweden, Each parent is entitled up to 480 days. Germany, 14 weeks long, starts 6 weeks before the expected due date and continues for 8 weeks after the birth. That's kind of short. Australia's long. Everybody's longer than the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that. Obviously, I haven't lived it, but I don't understand. I don't know. I have so many thoughts and opinions and confusions, and it's part of the reason where I feel like sometimes I second guess maybe I won't have children is because it feels as though the way the system is set up in America is that you can't have it all. As right. a woman, I feel like I obviously have a unique job, so I wouldn't compare my current, but let's say I still worked at the record label. Like, something's got to give. You Something. Can't be a full-time employee and a full-time mom and a full-time wife and a full-time adult and a full-time, like, something has to give. You can't have it all. But I feel like there could be pretty simple steps or things put in place to make you maybe almost have it all. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, a little bit of help, like Something. 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
You can't, let's start at 6 months. That's yeah. still less than every other country that you just listed.
Yeah.
And at least at 6 months, I feel like that's when babies have like a little more personality and they're a little more awake and alert and all those things. Like, Locke is obviously looking around right now, so he's maybe the exception to the rule, but like, that kid is brand new.
Brand new. Feeds, like I said, every 2 hours. Also, your body is producing milk. So if you're not feeding him, you have to continue pumping.
Which is going to take away from...
Yeah,
so, what, so
you,
anyway.
They want you to go to the office and sit there, and then you have to leave every, what, hour or so and pump.
Oh, but where do you pump, Sean?
Yeah, exactly.
In the nasty-ass restroom that everybody takes a shit in after their morning coffee? Yep, that's where everybody's
yeah,
pumping.
Yeah.
Like, that
Go pump your milk there.
Me. Yes, yeah. But where else are they supposed to do it? In their car?
Can't do it right in the
in
open.
In their office?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, that's. So I guess that's
and then
what
do you
saying.
Do with the milk? Then you pump that, and then where are you going to put that milk?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, there could be little steps that feel very simple. Like, I don't know. An open office space with a locked door where a mother could pump if she does have to go back to work and not sit in a urinal.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's yeah. like there's like yeah. little steps that I feel like a lot of places just completely neglect. Like, we don't think about it at all.
Right. And I understand too, from like the small business side of it, I'm a small business owner. Maybe you don't have the budget and you need somebody there, you know, there's got to be some type of assistance, or there's got to be a way where you can say, hey, let's just do the work from home. If you're already yeah. doing work from home.
Right.
It's 2024. We had a year or 2 years of people from working from home.
Yep.
So it's like, if you have a baby who is literally dependent on you, needs to eat from you, is comforted by you, like, make it happen. Like, make it work. Now, dads, do I think it's necessary for dads to have leave,
yeah.
paternity leave? Sure, to an extent, but not nearly as much as the mom. I think it's good for the dads to be there to support the moms, because even at this stage, what can I do? I feed him bottles, which are good, but I'm, you know, holding him, watching him while Dre has to do her thing. But for the most part, it's mostly the mom doing a lot of the work. So the dads, I'm not too concerned about. Give them some time.
Yeah.
But the mothers, I think it needs to be at least a few months.
Yeah. And
at least.
The other thing that I've heard from my friends that maybe work in a little more corporate America setting is that, sure, you get 10 weeks for maternity leave, but if you want anything after that, it's like half pay,
oh, yeah.
no pay.
Yeah.
Then you take all your vacation days. Then you yeah. take all your sick days, all these things, and then you stack them up. And also, not for nothing, but how disrespectful is it for a company that's millions of dollars, all of these things? Like, yeah, you guys aren't hurting for money. And you're going to sit here and tell me that while I'm trying to keep my newborn child alive, I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
That's my vacation days.
Yeah.
That shit irks me.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Yeah. What part of this is a vacation?
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It feels so unfair. And, you know, kind of what we were talking about before we started filming too, is that everybody's replaceable. So
yes.
if you don't yeah. want to get back in the office, we'll find someone who will, which is horrendous. Especially, I mean, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but like, especially in a small business aspect, mm-hmm. you would think that you were more than a number.
Yeah.
Because it is a smaller exactly. staff and all those things, that you'd make it a little more one-on-one, like human interaction. Okay. This is a new mother, not just, oh, this is employee number 379.
Yeah.
Take a second. Think about it.
Yeah.
And the how, I mean, I guess if you're the head of a company, you never took maternity leave because like I said, you can't have it all. So if you, yes, obviously there are women who are CEOs and juggle it all, but they typically have help and they have this and everything. It's just like, I don't know. It's overwhelming. I feel like I'm up against the odds as is. So.
It's so messed up. It's just one of those things in our country. You're like, God damn, figure it out. Let's figure it out. Mothers need more than 6 freaking weeks. My dog needed 8 weeks.
Yeah. And it's a dog.
She's not even cleared physically to do anything. Like her body, like you said, is still recovering. Healing. It's still healing.
That's a traumatic, I mean, arguably one of the most traumatic events. I mean, your body from head to toe is completely different.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I was listening to this podcast that has really been trying to talk about the fourth trimester. Everybody talks about first trimester, you're sick. Second trimester, you're this. Third trimester, you're so uncomfortable, you won't have a baby. And then it stops. No. There's a fourth trimester that I feel like recently has become more prominent in social media and podcasting and all this stuff. And obviously, I've only dipped my toe in it because I haven't become a mother myself. But I, like I said, I try and check in on my friends. How are you doing? Yeah. How are you feeling? Yeah. How's, like, can I get you anything? Dre was talking, joking about the Witch's Brew Alani Nutrition drinks.
Oh, yeah, she drank a few sips of those.
Yeah, she was like, I could only have like a sip here and there when I was pregnant, but man, do I miss it. So I'm like, okay, mental note to myself. Next time I see Dre, I will have one of those for her because now she can drink it. And
yeah, but no, don't give her one because she drank one. And then Lox was like going crazy, like, because... She's feeding. Okay,
but then she can pump and dump and whatever. Just give her a little bit of happiness boost.
Yeah, we're trying.
She wants the Alani Nutrition.
Yeah, give her that Alani.
I mean, it's the same thing. I feel like when women have like a glass of wine, they're like, I'll just pump and dump. But then again, okay.
Yeah, so what do you mean by pump and dump? Like you're just going to pump
and
then
you dump the milk.
Yeah, that's insane.
But that's what I'm saying. So now we have to work extra hard just to enjoy a fucking glass of wine.
Yeah.
After I just pushed this baby out of me and like I'm recovering and I have to now think ahead like, God, being a mother is overwhelming. Congrats to you if you're a mom.
Yeah. Shout out to all the moms out there.
For real. It truly is. It's truly never ending, 24/7, all day, every day, thinking 20 steps ahead of everyone around you.
Yeah. At all times.
Including the male partners or female partners or whoever you may be.
Or they thems.
Or they thems. But don't be that, well, I'm here, babe. I'll do whatever you want. Just tell me what you want. Bitch, I want you to just look around and figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking 20 steps ahead of this baby that I just made and I need to keep them alive. I can't keep you alive too.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's a lot.
I'm here. Oh, weaponized incompetence? Ooh, real fresh.
Yeah. It's a lot. So it looks like Lox will be the front desk worker at BC Gym for the next few months if Dre's got to go back to her office.
I'll hang out with him when I'm not on the road.
Yeah, shit. It's crazy.
I feel like I've gotten pretty good practice in the newborn stage. And then I feel like if my friends live outside of town or something, I go and I visit them, obviously, when the baby's pretty new.
Yeah.
And then I don't really see the kid because we go back to our normal life. And then all of a sudden I come back and the baby's like walking and talking. So that little space in between newborn and let's say a year and a half.
Quick.
It's quick, but I'm not very well versed in that. But I feel like I'm a pretty good learner.
Yeah, that's the other thing I keep thinking too. I'm like, it goes by so freaking quick that it's like, holy crap. It's going to be... You know, a year.
Yeah.
You're going to blink and it's going to be a year from now and he's going to be walking.
Yep. And I can't wait to check his neck strength because
his neck strength's great right now.
No, I'm talking about then we start forward rolls, then we start doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to put him in gymnastics.
It's a great sport.
Yeah. It is fantastic for
coordination, body awareness, body
core
awareness,
strength.
Yeah.
Everything.
It is. You know, some of us stick around for 20 years after our mommy and me class. I don't know if I recommend that, but I definitely think every child should be in gymnastics for at least a spurt in their life. It just teaches you body awareness and some level of coordination.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a football player, but at a big school in college, and he's got a son. And he's like, yeah, dude, I want to put so-and-so in gymnastics. And I was like, because I asked him, like, are you going to start playing football with them?
Mm-hmm.
And he's
How old
like,
is the kid?
Probably 4 or 5, I think.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, yeah, I'll do whatever he wants to do, but I really want to put him in gymnastics. He's like, but also, when he starts getting to a certain age, I also want to be like, all right, buddy,
Yeah.
Time
but what
to
if
go.
He falls in love with
I know. So he said, he's like, I'd still support him, but
yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to push him one direction, but no. If he ends up like falling in love with gymnastics, he'll be the best gymnastics dad. But he's also like, all right, buddy, time to go yeah. play some football.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, so I guess, I don't know if you even have an answer to this, but like, what if Locke has absolutely no interest in sports whatsoever?
Yeah. Then whatever he is, he'll be fully supported. I joke with Dre. I'm like, if he wants to, I don't know, be a baton twirler.
Yeah.
I'm like, then he'll be the best goddamn baton twirler out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be one of those parents that force him. Like, as much as I joke about it with sports and stuff, I'm like, he's not going to want to be forced to do anything.
Yeah.
He'll rally against you. It's not going to be fun for him. And like the Sean Johnson episode, that stuck with me.
Yeah.
She's like, your kid can only be good at something if they truly love it.
Yeah.
And now I think about dads who I see on social media or those crazy coaches. You're just trying to live through your kid.
Yes.
It's insane. It's sad.
It's so sad and so, embarrassing. Sad.
Embarrassing.
I just can't imagine ever acting like that. But also, I mean, I feel like you and Dre are pretty on the same page, but just more so than yourself acting like that. If you had a partner that was like that, like what if I fell in love with someone, we have children, I don't know that side of him. And all of a sudden we go to like the first T-ball game and he's screaming at the 14-year-old ref.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh,
yes.
Whoa. Let's pump the brakes on this, buddy.
And I remember when I was a ref at 14 getting screamed at. Yes. I remember those dads by their names from my small town in Connecticut, Windsor Lost, Connecticut. I'm like, those guys are losers.
Yes. Well, they are. And that's like, the problem.
This one dude, I'll never forget it. I'm like, he's screaming at
me. What's his name? Drop it right now on a global podcast.
Mr. Claffey.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, this dude is screaming at me. His kid's like 12 years old. We're playing at Winslow High School basketball. And I am literally, it's a Saturday morning and like, I'm 15 years old.
Yeah.
And screaming as if it is the NBA finals.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, stop.
Yeah. It's
you're a 50, 60-year-old man.
It's gross.
You're embarrassing yourself right now.
And your child.
And I remember the other ref was an adult and he was fantastic. He's like, dude, like, it's okay.
Yeah, just fuck that guy. Who cares?
Yeah, Mr. O'Boyle was his name. He was great. And he was like, yeah.
Isn't it funny how those things stick out to you though?
Like, I still remember that.
Yeah, like, I can remember.
Because I was mortified. I'm like, you were just screaming at me. Well.
Yes.
Because your 12-year-old kid, I don't know, maybe fouled or didn't foul the kid that I... Maybe it was a block instead of a charge. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was fucking 14 years old.
But also, this is not make or break for anything in your life.
Yeah, and guess what? His kid, he's not in the NBA right now. Guess what? He didn't go to college to play basketball either.
And that was the last day that little Johnny played basketball because of Sean Booth's ref skills.
Yeah, so I'll never be that guy.
No.
But
I do get nervous, though. I feel like both of my parents were collegiate athletes. My brother's a collegiate athlete. I was a collegiate athlete. Like, we just... athletics was what the four of us had.
Yeah.
That if I ever do have a child that is not into athletics, not that it is a bad thing, but I am nervous that I'm like, oh my God, I don't really know much of anything else.
Yeah.
Like, I will have to learn alongside the child, which is fine. But like, if my kid wants to be a clarinet player, I don't know the first fucking thing about clarinets.
But
so it's like,
you'll lead them in the direction.
Yeah. And I'll get them hyped up and we're going to have like morning jams. Like, we're about to hit them notes. Like, let's do it.
Yeah,
but
let's hit the notes.
It will be, on top of the learning curve of becoming a mother, I feel like that would be another learning curve that I'm just unfamiliar with the landscape of things outside of after school sports.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I do want my kids to play sports, and as you know, it is so good for them outside of just like physically, mentally, you're working on a team, right? And you also build these bonds, these friendships that you have for the rest of your life. Like you go to school and you got a crew with you, you know, so you don't feel alone. So there's a lot of things like that.
And
maybe you might suck at it, but try it.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of the things that I look back, I mean, gymnastics took up all of my life. It's one of those sports that you don't really do like off season, on season thing. It's year round.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that gymnastics taught me the most, which I didn't even realize was teaching me at the time, is that you don't always get what you want.
Yeah.
It does. Like, I was training 30 hours a week.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I was training 30 hours a week by the time I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So I lived a very intense life. And guess what? Even though I was training those hours, I didn't always win.
Exactly.
I didn't always walk away with feeling great. I still fell. I made mistakes. I let my team down. Those things I feel like of all the highs that I had in gymnastics, the things that stuck with me and made me a productive adult were the lows.
Yeah. And you could like throw out a million motivational quotes about that, right?
Yeah.
It's like how losing is better than winning.
Well, the cliches exist for a reason.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, your first fucking job out of college, you will learn who didn't have those lows, who didn't always get what they want. Because let me tell you, you think you hate group projects in college, life is a group project.
Yes.
So there's always going to be the dude that does nothing and takes all the credit. There's always going to be the butthurt person that's literally never been told no.
Yep.
There's going to be the person that's never lost the competition with 1 second on the clock and you're on the line. Like there are those people and you immediately can identify them if you've had that personally yourself.
Oh yeah.
And you're just like, good luck. And guess what? Sometimes those people make more money than you. So it's really frustrating.
Yeah. Well, the best and biggest quote that I've ever heard in my life is from my dad. And I'd always be upset. Be like, that's not fair. That's not fair. He'd always say, Sean, life's not fair. Mm-hmm. That's it. Always. He'd always say, life's not fair.
And
since I was a little kid.
It is true.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's, it hurts more than other times, but for the most part, I don't know. I feel like more times than not, you don't get what you want.
More, 90% of the time.
Yeah. So it's just like, how do you deal with that adversity? Change it, your outlook, your mentality. I feel like I've also been on a travel journey, obviously, for 2024. I've been a Hawaiian resident only. So I've had a lot of downtime to kind of think of like what I want to do this year.
Yeah.
And also just moving forward.
Yeah.
Time is, you said time's going fast. You have a kid. I feel like I don't even have a kid and time is already moving fast. So.
But you're young.
I'm not young. My God, I'm not
You're
young.
You're way younger than me.
No, I know. I understand in the grand scheme of life, I am young. But it's like, holy shit, am I young?
I know.
Like, I can't express to you. I've had a couple events. Or it was one event, but a couple things during the day when I first got back from Hawaii, we filmed a really cool event on CMT for the band Alabama.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with Alabama, they were the pioneers. They basically created the landscape of...
I was looking to see if they had their record over there, but no.
Yeah. They were big in the 80s and 90s. They're still obviously very relevant, but they created our modern day touring system for country music.
Yeah.
So what my job is now... the ball started rolling with them. Great event. I laughed, I cried, I clapped, I danced. It was very emotional. It was very touching. But it was on Belmont's campus.
Yeah.
Beautiful campus. Like, yeah, no wonder it's $70,000 a semester to go there. Jeez. The amount of times these freaking college kids were like interning the event were making me feel like I was 33 years old. Just like little things where they're like, oh, when you were in college, like, oh my God, yeah, my dad had a BlackBerry. Oh, yes, ma'am. Like things like that. I'm like, oh God. Those are the type of things that I'm like, oh, to the outside world, I do look older or I do, I don't know. Like I remember when I was their age, someone who was 33 was like, whoa.
Oh,
and now
yeah.
I'm like, wait. No. I feel like I'm still you, this Belmont intern who's working this event.
You never feel like you're going to be that age or feel that old.
Yes, but then when the 19-year-old like little intern boy was like, yes, ma'am. I was like, oh my God, I'm a woman to him.
That's like everybody
I'm a lady.
That's like every other gym call me Old Man Booth. They start calling me Old Man Booth when I was younger than you are right now.
Yeah, but you also act like an old man. So it's different. I get it. But I do. I think when I met you, you seemed so much older than me and I was younger than you were younger than I am right now.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a business owner and he's 30 whatever. And now I'm like, he still doesn't have his shit together. No.
He never will.
But nobody does.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Nobody does. Let's finish this up. Final four.
Oh, okay.
We're throwing it on you. Oh. We're also going to take a turn here.
Oh, God. All right.
Final four favorite things about the snow. This week it snowed in Nashville, Tennessee. It is my favorite weather. And we were talking about this earlier. It snowed on like Sunday night or Monday, and the city is just completely
demolished,
debilitated. And I never used to understand why when I first moved here. I'm like, these P words. Like, it's at a quarter inch of snow.
You've said the F word 3 times this episode, but you're going to draw the line at
I'm
going to
draw the line there.
Okay.
And we just don't have plows or trucks that put salt down, nothing. So, it stays cold. It'll snow. And actually, this was a pretty big snowstorm. We got like a half a foot.
This was impressive.
That's big for Nashville. Yeah. But it snows and the snow's not the problem. It's that it gets so cold for the whole week. Like we're at 1 degree, 2 degrees, and everything turns to ice. and they do not take care of the road. So if you do not have four-wheel drive, you will end up off the side of the road. I see it every time it snows here. I'm like, this person, you know, who's from Mississippi trying to drive to the freaking grocery store and their Honda Accord ain't going to make it.
No.
And they don't know how to drive in the snow. So I'm in my element. As you know, I grew up in Connecticut, New Hampshire. The snow is my favorite. And that's why we're going to go final four favorite things about the snow, starting with Sam Cat.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for giving me 30 seconds to come up with this list of things. So I'd say my number four would be the silence.
Yes.
So when you walk outside, when it's snowing, everything is like muffled and it's just so peaceful and it doesn't exist in any other atmosphere. Like that specific silence is subject to a fresh snowfall.
I'm so glad you said that. That was on my list as well. I'll put that number four. That is, I was talking about this the other day. I'm like, it's the best. You go outside at nighttime too when it's snowing.
Yes.
It's so silent and it's the best. It's comforting. And alongside of that, I'll say the smell. Like you can smell when the storm's coming.
Have you ever watched Gilmore Girls?
No, I haven't.
All right. Well, Lorelai Gilmore, she says, I smell snow. That's okay. Like her tagline.
Yeah. So I was out in the backyard the other day just hanging out, just like looking up and just like, yes, it's coming. It's snowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go forward for that as well. Number three.
I love if you go out and you play in the snow. Obviously, it's cold. You're bundled up and all of these things. But if you sit in the snow, it's warm. Mm-hmm. It's comforting. It molds to your body. Almost like before you make your snow angel, if you just sit and relax in it, I feel like it kind of goes hand in hand with the silence. It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
Hanging out in the snow.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of things like snowboarding and skiing and all that stuff that come with snow that's great.
Right.
Just chilling in it.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Chilling in it.
If you're dressed appropriately.
Got to be dressed appropriately, which that's my number three. Dressing up for snow. You can put on your boots that have been sitting in the garage all year. You can put on your Carhartt overall pants, your big jackets, your beanies, your gloves that are in the closet, at least for us. You know, I can only take out once a year.
Yes.
Like getting bundled up and feeling warm, but also being out in the cold is a fantastic feeling.
I do. I got really cool leather gloves that you can use your phone with like 2 winters ago. And I've worn them, you know, twice. And I got to bring them back out this week.
Yeah,
I was like,
it felt good.
It does feel good.
Yeah.
It does feel good. Okay. Number two. My number two is going to be snow scream.
Okay.
When you make your own homemade ice cream with the snow.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like snow scream, like yelling.
No. Snow scream.
Okay.
You go out, you scoop it. It's like vanilla, condensed milk. There's a bunch of different ways you can make it. Blend it all together, put some chocolate chips in it. It gets the consistency of ice cream.
Okay.
What's fresher than fresh snow?
Nothing.
I love fresh ingredients to begin with. So let's just absolutely capitalize on that.
Snow scream. Let's make a business. My number two is driving. I fucking love it.
You also love
doing... That's the fourth time
doing...
I use the F word. And I love driving in the snow. Like,
no, you love donutting in the snow.
Yeah, I love it. I go out when it starts snowing. The other night, Dre's like, where are you going? I was like, I got to go to the gym and set up. And she's like, no, you don't. I'm like, I do, but also I want to go drive around because nobody's out on the roads. It's like late night and snow's coming down hard. And every single corner I take, you're just jamming that gas and then turning the wheel, fishtailing around every single corner, going to the parking lots, doing 360s. That's what we did as kids.
Do you remember, it might have been 22 was our last snow storm, but I believe it was you, when you still had your truck, the other truck.
Yeah,
the GMC. And you guys were like snowboarding behind your truck out in front of the
Jack,
gym.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say,
me,
I
Jordan
remember
and Jack,
there was
we
a group
up,
of you.
Yeah, we took the TRX handles.
Yes. And no, it was the most ghetto setup ever, but it was a great video and it looked like fun.
We were going around the block and he was just like on the roads because again, there's no plows here.
Yeah.
We had our buddy just snowboarding.
Nice.
Number one.
My number one, which I feel like is a lost art, because technology has changed it, is the feeling of a snow day.
Ah, that was my number one.
The NFL draft feeling at the bottom,
the
where you're waiting for your school to go by.
Yeah.
And that, I'm sure now as a parent, you're probably like, okay, yeah, for sure. Well, I'll stay home. Yeah. Great. You know, that never processed in our mind because we were staying home.
Yeah.
It's a snow day.
The feeling of like, it's I don't Christmas. Have to do anything tomorrow,
amazing.
Whether it's work, like here in Nashville is cool because it's like, everything's going to get shut down.
Yes.
And it's like the middle of the week. Like, all right, I don't got to get up at 4 in the morning. The anticipation of the next day of it being an absolute nothing day is awesome.
Yes.
And we just had the ticker in Connecticut. And we had 60-minute delay, 90-minute delay, right. half day, and you would get up with your siblings just sitting there just fucking praying.
Yes.
Fifth time I said the F word. Praying that you would see Windsor Locks, Connecticut Public Schools.
Right.
No school.
And then when that like went across the bottom, it was like
the best.
Literally Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Then you start the process of getting dressed for the snow, and then everybody's outside at 7:15 a.m. None of these kids have been this pumped to go to school or been this awake at 7:15 a.m. the whole year.
Yeah.
But on a snow day, baby, we're up and at them.
And your parents, like you said, are probably like, shit.
Yeah, you're like, what am I supposed
snow
to do?
Day. Well, that's how I am right now because I got to get to work because we had a snow morning, but not this afternoon. We're back to work. I got to go coach class. Sam Cat, awesome to have you back. I can see the back of your ass and thigh through those jeans right there.
Don't look. The boomer in me hates it.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Team on three.
One, two, three.
Team.